Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Today, we're speaking with Sophie Sheesh, the CEO of Be Current. Her company has developed a system that not only allows people to be more productive, but helps them decide the most important areas to which they should devote their time. She calls it productivity with a purpose. You gotta love it, and looking forward to hearing about this. And Sophie, thanks for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Thank you for having me, Eric. I'm excited for our conversation.
And I am as well, and this topic really applies to just about every hour of the day. It really does. So Be Current was founded on the principle, as I had mentioned, productivity with a purpose. What exactly does that mean?
Well, think of it as productivity. A lot of people think of it as doing more things, you know, just checking off more boxes and making sure that you finish your day having done all these things that you said you were going to do. But often people don't connect that with, does that really have meaning for you? Like, is this really moving the needle of your life, of your company, of your family, you know, whatever it might be? And so it's really kind of reconnecting the why we do what we do, then of course doing it as productively as possible, but not disconnecting it from this notion of, you know, is this what matters? Because otherwise we end our day having checked off a lot of boxes, but not necessarily feeling more fulfilled or more satisfied.
Yes, it makes total sense as well. Now, how does the Be Current system actually help someone to find their purpose?
You know, it's interesting because I've worked with probably hundreds of people by now, and I would say there's almost different people have different awakenings a little bit. Like they get kind of hit to the notion that they're off their kilter at a different time in the evolution of the work. But in general, the way it speaks to someone because it reveals what is there. Like, you know, when you do maybe spring cleaning at your house, like you the closets are full of stuff. You don't even know what stuff is in there. The first step is, you know, let's take everything out of the closet and let's put it all in the middle of the room and let's see what we have there. I would say the methodology that I have developed has that quality of, like, let's look at all of these things. Like, does it belong? Does it work? Do I like it? Do I want to do more of it? Do I want to do less of it? You know, it's almost like put the way you would do your closet, you would put piles of, like, this is to be given away. This is to be fixed. This is to be returned. This is to be, you know, put back in the closet. Similarly, we do that with our thoughts. So the beginning of the work is to identify what actually is in that closet. And by taking it all out, people improve their own sense of purpose because all of a sudden they see, like, the way that the work works is that you get to see outside of your head what is actually floating in there. And when people do that, it kind of awakens. Like, one of my clients recently quit her job because she was looking at the result of our work, and basically having downloaded what was in her head, she saw what was in the board. We build a board on Trello is one of the ways that I do the work. And she looked at the board and she was basically like, everything I'm looking at that says what I'm supposed to do today, I don't want to do. It gives me a headache and I don't want to do it. It's not fitting for me anymore. And that's kind of what started her quest of, what else do I want to do? And when I wake up in the morning, what do I want to see, you know, on this list of things that I'm doing today? So that's one of the ways.
And that is some fabulous information right there. Thanks for that. Now, what are some of the obstacles that stand in the way of being our most productive selves?
You know, I would say, as often with everything else, is ourselves. You know, like we judge, we set ourselves to do too much in one day, and then by the end of the day, we feel like we should have done more. We did 98 things, and somehow we beat ourselves up because we should have done 100. And so we contribute to this kind of beating ourselves up in a way that makes it not super fun to come back the next day and do more of it. I think when we're younger, school directs that, you know, do this, do this, do this by Thursday, do this for Monday, geography thing for Tuesday, math things for Wednesday. And as a kid, you don't really have too much of a choice, you know. Well, maybe you do, but the alternatives are, you know, be a rebel and not go to school, which doesn't really work well. So if you participate in the system, they tell you what to do a lot. And then you're thrown in the world of life and working as an adult, and now you're supposed to motivate yourself and you're supposed to decide, like, how do I organize my time when no one tells me, you know, that geography is due tomorrow morning by 10, right? And so a lot of the obstacles I find are coming from people's own settings and mindsets that create a lot of limitations, you know, whether it's like the fear of doing something, whether it's the fear of being successful at something, which funny enough is more of a fear that people have than actually failing. Like people fear actually getting their purpose aligned because, wow, if they miss that, that would be much harder than if they have a life that's, you know, not that interesting, but then they don't really try and apply themselves to go write that book or go, you know, do that thing they want to do. By not applying themselves completely, somehow it gives them a way out, right? And so that's another way we get in our own way, is we set our, like, our bars too low in some way. And so we kind of play small, because if we were to play in the big leagues or the leagues that actually matter to us, then it would be more hurtful if we didn't succeed, if that makes sense. So a lot of people have, you know, when they start working with the kind of work I do with them, they get to identify what their purpose is, and then we get to work with the emotional, psychological limitations that they may have in the way of them accomplishing it, which too many people think it's the tool, it's the, you know, what gizmo is going to get them there, what apps can I use, you know, to become more productive. It's, you know, procrastination is an emotional component. It's not a, like, what tool am I using to not be, you know, to not procrastinate is a bit of an illusion. It's like, what scares me about writing that book? What, you know, what am I resisting by not doing this thing is really where we need to look for answers, not in the next gizmo or the next app.
So very true, so true, and really some fantastic feedback on that question there today. We're joined by Sophie Sheesh, the CEO of Be Current. Her company has developed a system that not only allows people to be more productive, but helps them decide the most important areas to which they should devote their time. And she's joined us here today on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, you just authored a very timely article about New Year's resolutions, contending that resolutions not only don't work, both professionally and personally, but they actually make things worse. Can you explain that concept?
Well, how many people have you met that actually say January 1st, they're going to lose that many pounds, they're going to start that business, they're going to do all these things, and how often do people actually do it? The proof is in the pudding, I would say, a little bit, like, because when we commit to these things, we're committing to them because we haven't done them. And the reason we haven't done them is not, it's not enough to go at them with like, okay, well, I'm going to quit smoking. That's it. You know, no, there is a reason you smoke. There is a reason you work too many hours at the office. There is a reason your food has become your emotional clutch or whatever it might be, or you drink too much, or like all these things. People think that by just like chopping off, you know, the results, it's going to do something, but it's really going to the root that's going to do something. So resolutions, for me, often travel in the space of, you know, fixing that outer thing, like, you know, losing a number of pounds. Well, I used to be 350 pounds, and I now am closer to 160. I can tell you that in those two, almost 200 pounds, not much was about, you know, just stop eating food. You know, it was more about healing that reason why eating sugar when I felt anxious was helping me, as opposed to learning how to feel anxious or learning to organize my life so I don't have as much anxiety, or like all sorts of deeper rooted behaviors, because the food or the smoking or the overworking or the whatever it is we're trying to resolve with those resolutions, it's very unlikely that it's going to be at the very top of the, it's like, it's not what's on the surface that's going to be interesting. That's just kind of the, you know, the magician shows the right hand so he can solve the left, you know, that's discreetly under there. It's like, we need to get to what's under there. And so resolutions tend to have this kind of outer, you know, by January 15, we're like, well, you know, like last year, it didn't work. And then we drop it. Like if we were to have a resolution, I would say it should be to be introspective, you know, and to learn who we are and why we do what we do and why are we not doing those things that we said we were going to do. Like, pandemic has been super interesting for me to witness from my standpoint of work. You know, my framework is supposedly time management, which that alone is a illusion. You know, you don't manage time, like you don't manage the weather, you don't manage, you wear boots if it's raining, right, or an umbrella, and people treat time a little bit like it's something they're going to be able to control. You don't control time, it's going, and we all have the same amount, and now you can manage you within the constraint of time, and that is interesting. Like, as a resolution, like, can we look at ourselves and study ourselves the way we study a computer or some other, you know, outer thing again? Like, when we want to understand how, I don't know, the toaster broke down at my house this morning, well, the first thing is you unplug and you look at the thing, and then you go online, and what kind of toaster is this? And, you know, well, we need to do that for ourselves. We need to go see why we do what we do and what turns on the light and what turns off the light. You were asking earlier, Eric, about purpose. It's like, well, start noticing when you do this kind of activity, you get energy, you get joyful, you want to do more. And when you do this kind of activity, you want to jump out the window, you know, of sorts. And so start to be more strategic about when something brings you joy, find a way to do more of it. Real joy, you know, like I used to eat Nutella and that brought me a little bit of joy for the second, but it was very self-destructive. I'm not talking about those, you know, fake kind of like temporary highs. I'm talking about real deep, like I started playing pickleball and I played this morning and I played really well. And it was like, that's deep joy. I woke up at 6:30 to go play and that was super fun. And so find more of those things in your business life, in your home life. And then when you find something that seems to trigger more energy or more joy or more, then organize your life so you do more of it. And then do less of those that tend to, you know, drain your energy. So that's why resolutions for me don't work, because they tend to address the top 2 inches, and we need to go, you know, a mile down within ourselves.
Well, it certainly makes a lot of sense, and you're right. I've never met anyone that's carried through their New Year's resolutions personally anyway. Now, you've also written a book, soon to be a TV show, that chronicles your journey in losing 200 pounds. That's incredible. Tell us how that journey helped shape your life's philosophy and specifically what lesson it teaches your Be Current clients.
Sure. You know, losing weight is very much like a project you could have at, you know, writing a book or you know, solving something your team is trying to solve, or it's the same thing. You start at a point A and you are attempting to end at a point B. And so weight is like that. I started at 350 and I ended at 157, whatever it is now. And what was the journey of that is how do you accompany yourself as if you were your own coach, as if you were your own friend, you know? And as I was doing it, I was clearly seeing that there were so many more layers than, as we were just saying, it's like it's not all about the food at all. I mean, the food matters. Like if I sat there and, you know, pigged out on chips and Nutella all day, I would gain weight. It's not, we're not saying that food doesn't play a part, but in the process of a project, you're going to identify more components than you think at the beginning. Like when I started the journey, I did attack the food, you know, like, well, let's eat less carbs, let's eat more protein, you know, the obvious thing. But then I lost, I don't know, 10, 15 pounds. And then it was like, okay, well, what else? Well, what else is every time I feel sad, I want to sit there and down a jar of, you know, or chocolate cake or something. And it's like, well, let's learn how to feel sad. Because if I don't learn how to do that, every time I feel sad, I'm going to try to cover it up with, like we were saying earlier, other type of addictions or behaviors that are very self-destructive, because somehow I grew up with a family that when we were sad, you know, people didn't like that. And so we were told, you know, but don't be sad, right? It's like it makes people uncomfortable. And so I grew up thinking being sad was like something really to avoid. But if you avoid it, it's like the river attempting to avoid, you know, having water run through it. It's just feelings and emotions are something that run through us, and people who don't feel anything, they tend to live in, you know, cemeteries. It's like we're meant to feel things, but somehow we're trained to avoid feeling, and so we do our best, but I think eventually we start having very self-destructive behaviors. And so how is it related to Be Current and productivity? In a huge way, because people attempt to do something, write a book, make more money, you know, rise in their companies or whatever it might be, there's going to be other elements that limit or sabotage our growth. And if we don't go after those, all we'll do is we'll move the needle to the right when it's to the left. And that's all we're doing. It's just like we're still not going in the direction of understanding ourselves or loving ourselves really. I mean, honestly, at the end of this journey for me, it was all about, is this bite that I'm taking in right now, is this loving myself? Is this going to give me energy? Is this good food? Is it food that didn't come out of a box that, was put on a shelf 10 years ago, since there's no live ingredients whatsoever? So I learned to cook vegetables and that is true for any project. Like, what are the pieces that need to be in place for that particular project to be successful? Similar to a diet, which I don't look at what I did as a diet at all. It was really a lifestyle change, which went from I eat food that's depleting my body, like I have habits with my productivity that are very depleting. How do I change them to habits that are very sustaining, very, they uplift me, and they give me more energy. I look at energy as if it was money a little bit. Like, if I start my day and I have whatever the unit might be, 500 units, the way it would be dollars, well, how do I spend it? I mean, am I doing something that brings in more energy, like i.e. more money? Or am I doing something that's, drinking too much coffee, eating too much sugar, not eating, not sleeping enough, having a job that I don't like all that stuff, takes away and depletes my bank account of energy. And if people started looking at their day like that, like every time they do something, it's like, well, is this feeding or is this depleting? I think it would just have an enormous impact in how people, end their days, as in end their life, So I think it's very related. That was very astute to you to bring it to this way.
Sophie, no doubt you've jazzed up the audience. You certainly have jazzed up my thoughts here, and really appreciate your visit with us here today on Enterprise Radio on behalf of your company, Be Current. In conclusion, is there any closing thoughts, a final word, or any advice you'd like to conclude things with today?
Yeah. I love, it's funny, I've been adding that to my own process lately, which is if something I commit to do, when I look at it, there's part of me that's like, I don't want to do that. Like, I don't want to do that now. I don't want to do it later. Why am I saying yes to it? So my tip would be develop a practice of saying no. Like, you can be kind about it. This is not about, being abrupt with people or anything, but just when someone comes at you with like, hey, do this for me, or, do you want to do that? Or do you want to be involved with this? Like, pause. Because there's a good chance it's a no, and you're just in the habit. A lot of people are in the habit of saying yes because they want to be liked or whatever. Like, may this year be more no's so you can be connected deeper to your yeses.
Sophie, thanks so much. And again, thanks for those concluding remarks and advice. Really appreciate that. If listeners wanted to get more information on your company, Be Current, or to be in touch with you, where's the best place online to do so?
Yes, becurrenttoday.com is the website, and you can pretty much find everything you need in there if someone wants more information.
Sounds good, easy enough, and we'll leave that link within the show notes of this broadcast, again, especially for those mobile listeners. Again, it is becurrenttoday.com. Sophie, all the best, and hopefully we can get you back on for a visit once again in the future right here on Enterprise Radio.
Thank you.
And you're certainly more than welcome anytime. We've been speaking with Sophie Sheesh, the CEO of Be Current. Her company has developed a system that not only allows people to be more productive, but helps them decide the most important areas to which they should devote their time. She calls it productivity with a purpose. And for all the details, visit becurrenttoday.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune in to our live location as we are streaming live 24/7. Around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.